Spirit, one God, amen. May God's grace, mercy, and blessing be upon us all. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the month of Kiak. In the month of Kiak, the church prepares us for the Feast of Nativity, which is celebrated on the 29th of this month. This is when we start the praises and the midnight praises and the 7 and 4 or 7 arba that we started yesterday to prepare our minds for the coming of the Lord in the flesh. And in those four Sundays, the church takes the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke and breaks the events into four Sundays. We start today at the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to Zacharias for the birth of John. And next Sunday is the Annunciation to St. Mary. And the third Sunday is the Visitation of St. Mary to St. Elizabeth. And finally, the last Sunday is the birth of St. John. And then, of course, the Feast of the Nativity, we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that the church takes from the Gospel of St. Luke is that St. Luke is known to be, the church calls him a theologian and a historian. He's very meticulous, he's very detailed in the events he gives, and he's only one of two of the Gospel writers who actually says the purpose of why he is writing the Gospel. He starts off his Gospel with a prologue or an introduction and saying that he's writing this to make sure the information that is passed to Theophilus is accurate. The only other gospel writer that does it is St. John, but St. John lists his purpose for writing the gospel at the end of the gospel. He said at the end, these things were written so that you may have life in Christ. But St. Luke, at the very beginning, he says he's writing this to have an accurate account of what happened in the days of Jesus, and he writes it to a person whose name is Theophilus. Some of the biblical scholars, they debated if this was a real person or a name. One of the Latin fathers, St. Ambrose, says Theophilus means the person who loves God. So it's as if Luke is writing this to whoever loves God, not to a particular person. But other opinions say, no, he was an actual person, a dignitary or a politician in the Roman Empire who converted to Christianity, and that's why he calls them Most Excellent Theophilus. It's as if he's like Your Honor or Your Highness. So there's a title before his name. But regardless, it shows how accurate St. Luke is in making the history for us. And he even says in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. So he's very particular. And later on, he names Tiberius and Caesar so that you know exactly when these events are taking place in the history of the world. So we know the story that a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. Abijah is a grandson of Aaron. Aaron had four sons, and two of those sons didn't have any children, and the other two had a total of 24 children, and those became the 24 priests, and from their line became the other priests. And the priests were responsible for all the services in the temple. So every day and every morning and every night there was raising of incense and there were sacrifices the priests had to perform. And this duty was by lot. They would draw a lot to see who's doing what. So it says, Zacharias of the division of Abijah, if you read in 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 24, you'll see exactly who these divisions are. And it's interesting to note that Abijah was the eighth division, and the number 8 always reminds us of the resurrection or of the new beginning. So it's as if to say that this line of priesthood from Abijah or from Zacharias has ended and there's a new beginning. This eighth line now represents the resurrection or represents the new priesthood of Christ himself. And as he was raising incense, the angel appeared to him. Of course, he was raising incense on the altar of incense, not in the Holy of Holies, but even the altar of incense was behind a veil. So there was a holy place, and then in that holy place there's the altar of incense, there's the lampstand, and then behind that another veil, and there's the Holy of Holies. So that means people couldn't see him. He was behind a veil, and that's why nobody else saw this vision. And it says when he came out, he beckoned to them, he made a sign to them that he needs something to write on, so they knew he saw a vision because they couldn't see him when he was raising incense. And Gabriel appeared to him, and when he saw him, he was troubled. And he said, do not be afraid, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Of course, Zacharias, the name Zacharias means God remembers. So God hasn't forgotten your prayers. God hasn't forgotten your requests. So Gabriel is telling him that God has answered your prayer. And we know the story that Zacharias said, "How shall I know this? For I am advanced and my wife is advanced in years." And then he was sort of punished by the archangel Gabriel, and he was mute until the day that St. John was born. And some might think this is a harsh punishment for this priest. But you have to remember that what the angel was telling him wasn't really something out of the ordinary. He's a priest, and he knows the stories of Abraham and Sarah and Rebekah and Isaac and how they were barren and they had children. So it's not like he's telling him something out of the ordinary or something unheard of. And being a priest, he would have known these stories. He would have known the history of Israel and the people of Israel. And he would have known that this is not something that is out of the ordinary. And he even prayed about it, knowing that it's not out of the realm of God. But the archangel Gabriel said, "Your prayer has been heard," and yet he doubted, even though his prayers have been heard. And sometimes we fall into this: if does God really hear our prayers or not, or if he doesn't deliver something in the timing that I want, then I don't believe that he can. And this is what happened with Zacharias. He doubted that his prayers have been heard. But the archangel Gabriel told him he will bear a son, and he will be great. He will go before him in the spirit and power, and he will be great in the sight of God. And this is a lesson for the parents out there. We know we're always taking care of our kids to make sure that they look great in front of others. But do we focus on their life so that they look righteous before God? Or are we just worried about how they look in front of others and what their status is and what their education is and, you know, who they marry and all this? But we don't care how they look in front of God. But he said he shall call his name John, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And this is the goal that we should all have, is that we want to be great in the sight of the Lord. From the perspective of God, we want to be great. We don't want to be great in the world. We don't care about the world. We want to be forgotten from the world. Doesn't matter what the world thinks of us, but we want to be great in the sight of the Lord. And then Zacharias, of course, doubted, and the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, sent from God, and behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the days that these things take place." And of course,